compound pendulum. It is in fact two pendula, one added on to the next one, and it's anything but periodic or uniformly periodic. In fact, it's chaotic. It would be the worst thing that you could possibly use for a clock, because it would each second would be slightly different from the last, and you would never be able to tell what was coming up next. And so just a simple understanding of a pendulum will lead pretty soon, by adding little bits and pieces to it, to something which we can describe but we can't predict. And of course, the pendulum is used in clocks, is used as an essential part of prediction. So what's going on there? This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. And I listened to my last podcast, and I don't expect you, looking at the sheer statistics of who's listening to podcasts, it's at the moment unlikely that people listen to successive podcasts. But let's tell the story so far. I needed, down the track, to talk about pendulums, simple harmonic oscillators. I need it for electronic circuits further down the track, and for simple scientific techniques. So in class and school, you introduce the simple pendulum, and it gives you angles, windows into gravity, timekeeping, scientific methods, errors. There's a whole heap of things. It's an interesting activity. And then I, for other reasons, in terms of building more complex circuits down the track and understanding quantum mechanics or energy transfers down molecules, I wanted to discuss something called a coupled pendulum. And although I use the word coupled, when I listen back, I use the word compound. And to someone like myself, I really pulled my hair out. And so at the start of this, the last podcast in the text, I'll say, look, warning, I have used the word compound when, in fact, I meant coupled. So we're in this place where we've sort of launched ourselves, possibly by courtesy of my mistakes, which is I often do. I often read something, understand it imperfectly, then think about it a long time, come to a crisis, and then go back and reread it and recheck it and fix it up. So it may be inconvenient for you, but it's a sort of standard part of getting better. And I am getting better the more that I'm podcasting, reading, slowly getting back up to speed. So let's look at the different types of pendulum. There's the simple pendulum, there's the coupled pendula, and there's a compound pendulum. Now I'm just going to forget to really stop and think about pendula and pendulum. Pendulum is a single for one of them. Pendula, this means there's multiple of them. Now, just to go over where we're going through, it's sort of a rather revealing definition of the coupled and compound. It sort of really gets to the heart of science and the difference between classical and quantum mechanics. Really gets in just looking at these simple things. So a simple pendulum is a string on a weight in a field, a gravitational field, and it swings back and forth periodically in a period. And another example is a weight bouncing in a spring. One has this a period of this of 2 pi, the square root of L and G. The other one has a period, just off the top of my head, 2 pi the square root of K on M. That is, if you increase the spring constant, or it bounces faster, or if you increase the mass, it slows down for the spring constant. So that's a simple pendulum, and it has a simple sinusoidal oscillation, or A sine omega t plus theta, a phase change, if you want to go into it, and a simple velocity associated with it. It's slowest at its end peaks and fastest in the center. And a simple, I suppose, is another term for a differential probability of existing at any point in the swing. So it's highest at the times where it's slowest. And off the top of the head, that's that function there. I won't go into it. Is let me see, one on 1 minus x squared. Is the that horseshoe function or horned function for the probability of it existing at any point? That's the full set of science that you could talk about a simple pinch. Important for understanding basic systems. Most systems store energy and spring and then release it in a release and kinetic energy. Most things vibrate, and it's the fundamental thing of vibration, sound, and various things like that. Very important point, starting point, because a vibrating pendulum is a fundamental single frequency antenna, and that dissipates power into a medium, sending a wave. So it's a sort of the basic thing to study before you get into wave physics, light and sound and stuff like that. See if you can study a pendulum. So there are many reasons why we study a simple pendulum. And then we have these next two things coming up. And the next cab off the ranks is a coupled pendulum. Why we have a coupled pendulum is that these are simple pendulums where the position of one pendulum sends a force into the position of the next pendulum or two pendulum. And of course, this coupling between oscillators is what a medium is. A medium is a whole, is described as a whole three-dimensional space filled with simple pendulum, and the simple pendulum are coupled at the position of the distance between two pendula as they oscillate is has some sort of force constant, that there's actually some sort of spring in it, and that's how we describe a medium. We either think of it separately as pendulum with some coupling juice between it. The coupling juice may be always usually is electrons, and there's various other sophistications to it. So a coupled pendulum is something very very interesting to look at, but it also displays a fantastic property of if you've got two pendulum, you have two modes, symmetric and anti-symmetric modes, and those modes have two frequencies associated with it. And with two frequencies, you if you they're eigenmodes, they're independent modes, which you can write down. And if you solve those modes, you can excite in the two modes, and there's no mode transfer, but you can see these two modes progressing by each other, and the coupled pendula pulses if you excite both modes. The two modes then progress, and you can see apparently the pulsing of a pendulum. Now this is something which is really unusual. If you set the students up to look at it, this is a very unusual thing to see, because the actual so in a coupled pendulum, as I've described before, it's a cross piece of string with two pendula hanging off, and if you hold what the right hand pendula still and oscillate the left hand pendula back and forth or from side to side, but generally back and forth is the easiest one to explain, because supposed to various things, it is easier to explain. That left one will oscillate, and you will see, in fact, even though you're pulling back one pendulum, you're pulling back two modes of these imaginary. There's the modal pendulum and the actual physical pendulum, and you can see the left one slow down as the right one starts up, and it will come to a pause where the right one's at the maximum oscillation. And this really gets back into the heart of quantum physics, where you actually hunt for modes and modes of the wave functions of wave oscillation, which are the stable eigenstate modes of things. Eigen means solution states, and essentially when things have a simple solution, they have the form of E psi, a constant psi, a number, scalar number, just 1, 2, or 3, equals H psi, which is the Hamiltonian, the energy form. And so another way of saying that, I have a simple term of omega, let's describe a solution state by omega, and omega 1 or omega 2, and it's the number, the amount of energy I put into omega 1 and omega 2, I put them into those single number frequency states. So I describe those states as a number with a frequency associated with it. And then on the other side, I had the equations which I put time into, and that tells me what the motion is looking like. Now, that's what I try to describe. I use the word several times, compound pendulum. And so compound pendulum is the sort of evil twin of a coupled pendulum. And that is that the compound pendulum are two pendulums stuck together, so they're definitely coupled. They're physically coupled together. You can't couple together anything more. If I told you to couple two pendulums, most people would get one pendulum and stick it onto the next. But if you stick it onto the next, the solution equation, so the coupled pendulum are an example, a subset of... So compound pendulum are a subset of coupled pendulum. So you get simple pendulum or coupled. They're either independent or they're not. If they're independent in a nice way, we call it coupled. If they're independent in a hairy way, they're a compound pendulum. And essentially, write the equation, the energy equation for it, for your compound pendulum. So, and we'll discuss a bit about how you make a compound pendulum. But the equation you get, you can sort of prove that you can't easily separate it and solve it into time-independent numbers. And it's non-periodic. It's, in fact, chaotic. This is something a bit hard to get where you're just that close to chaos. And that's having two things coupled in this funny way. The way that we say it is that when you write the energy equations, you can't, of what's going on, you can't rotate it such that it goes, find a coordinate system where it's sort of rotated such that it's two simple numbers in a coordinate system. There's always these off, what we call off-axis terms. I'll just try and describe physically what a compound pendulum, so you can imagine my horror where I listened to me saying compound pendulum and I described something, a pendulum which was not technically compound, or was compound in a way which wasn't interesting. It was compound but periodic, which is completely atypical. So what happened is that all these things, you can have simple things which are easy to build, easy to demonstrate for a particular purpose, but then more complicated to analyze. So the simplest compound pendulum you can build with no complexity, no obvious things. The actual coupling is not obvious. This is with a string and two pendulum on a common string. So it's, you can't obviously intuitively see what's going on and then just dismiss it. If you have the compound string pendulum as drawn, as described, which is just out of strings and weights together, basically if you actually look at the string, it makes a pi symbol there. But if you go into the compound one, it's more complex and it's aperiodic. But getting back, the way that I've described with the pie-shaped string, it's a bit harder to actually see where there's separate modes or the oscillation looks suspiciously the same for exciting an asymmetric mode or a coupled mode at the point where things are moving oppositely. And of course, that is where I've excited two modes, and it's at the point where two weights swing exactly the opposite. So that's It's a hard thing to actually see in this form, because there's no obviously spring. It's a subtlety in the actual way that the weights are moving up into that pie frame up there. So I then went on and said, oh, look, I better explain this in a little bit more detail with where it's nice and obvious. It's very obvious where you have a direct spring between the two weights. And in that way, you can actually see what's going on, and don't have this, because everything is confined to the same plane. It's operating in a plane of the page of the paper, that if you hold a piece of paper up and that's got a plane, it's operating in that plane. It's very easy to know. And you want to actually have a physical demonstration of that, because that physical demonstration then goes on to wave physics. Yeah, so the first demonstration I said of the pi string, that is a laboratory demonstration to get students in. The one with the weights and the two and a very light spring between it is one which then extends into wave physics. So if you have then a series of weights and springs in a line, you can actually send a wave up. So that's a simpler one to look at wave equations. A compound potential is something else again, which is asymmetry. So if you get a length of string a meter long with a pendulum, and then add on to that pendulum another length of string, another pendulum which is say 30 centimeters long, and you oscillate it, indeed you have to actually build it rather ideally, because string is, you can actually see the pendulum begin to describe complicated ellipses as things begin to couple to each other, and it will produce a rather complicated dance. It's worthwhile to see it, and this is what you'd call a dud and complex pendulum. You can write the equations for it. It's just that the equations don't have a situation where you can plug in a time, 3 hours time, and actually know where your pendulum is. Of course, this is what the entire clock is. You can know where your pendulum is in 3 hours time, or where the pendulum is after so many oscillations, that is the time. It's sort of a back and forth go. So that's compound pendulum. It's worth building and demonstrating. And I suppose I have a few comments to do with chaos, quantum mechanics, and compound pendulum. If you look at the quantum mechanics of molecules, fairly simple systems, they are all in the coupled pendulum, the simple physics. And of course, what spectra are doing is by showing you lines, they're screaming at you, I'm a simple system, I'm governed by simple laws, and that's simple pendulum and coupling. Yes, so this is where quantum mechanics is. It's quantum mechanics is nicely safe in that area. And now you can obviously get coupling, but the coupling is much more subtle. It's between the, or compound effects, but that's between the nuclei and the electrons. So the start of quantum mechanics really flows down that fairly simple, non-chaotic physics. And I remember seeing people in the 90s trying to hang on to the, it's complex physics, but complex systems can display pseudo-periodic regions of space, but you could actually defeat the argument fairly similar. It's called strange attractors. And so if you plot these chaotic orbits in phase space, there are certain areas of phase space, it takes a very long time for it to display. Times of phase space that look like it prefers to be in. Phase space is sort of, I suppose, states that it likes to be in. So we're just coming back here. Now, I suppose the sort of big message is that eventually, if you build a big enough system, it can be compound. Obviously, the actual big pension you build in front of you is a real system, and it can be described by quantum mechanics, and it is chaotic. But sort of another example of a large quantum mechanical system is your brain. Your brain is essentially quantum mechanics, but at a sufficiently large stage, say it is chaotic. And but when you look at it, your entire processes of maintenance and cleaning and restructuring of it when you sleep is letting a fairly complex system evolve. So chaotic systems evolve, and they move around in complex ways to stimulus. So and how they evolve through space depends on the time that the stimulus puts in. One of the things I want to talk about before we finish, the fact that chaotic pendulum is in fact a pendulum with two different lengths, is of course your kitty's swing. There's a long swing and the kitty's legs move back and forth, and essentially that's a bit of a hard thing to nut out. It's easy enough to see how you can swing something up by standing on the side and pushing forward, but how what the subtlety of actually kids do it naturally of swinging, that's where at the top of the swing they push their legs forward, so it actually creates a bit of a angular pushback, and they flick their legs forward. They do it, and this is an important thing, they don't do it really slowly. They do it as a kick forward, and then at the back, when they're up there, they throw their legs back, which means that the swing, the actual center of the mass of the swing, is actually pushed a little bit higher from their the backward thing, and they get a little bit extra push. You can actually see that. But if you actually go through the of it and you say, if I move it forward, the swing will be accelerated, and it should move. And the swing itself actually doesn't move. Move your legs forward and back. So this is one of the things. I've never actually seen a kid's swing actually fully described as a physics problem. There must be a physics paper out there describing how kids swing, but it's a really difficult thing to really fully understand. So a kid's swing is a compound pendulum, but with a force which is constrained with a force. One of the pendulum is not a free flowing pendulum. It's a force pendulum, which is programmed by a little swing back and forth. But the actual physics of it, and it probably goes to the differential damping from a sudden acceleration of angular, you know, like you're suddenly accelerating your angular back and forth, and there may be some way up the top of the swing where the actual axis force doesn't move, and so that force is applied rather than a moving mass or like a free fall. It's a force which is actually up there. You can see that someone who's into pendulum would be quite confused. That's all for now. Thanks for listening.